Wasn't it lovely to hear Simon share last week? Yes, sharing from his heart. For those of you who don't know, Simon Swift. Are you here today, Simon? Yeah, at the back there. That cross right there, Simon carries it around on a regular basis. And also when he's not carrying it around, he's one of our evangelists. And we thank God for him. And his message last week, from his heart, as well as sharing a vision that he had that morning, was that everyone has a ministry. All of us, young or old, have a ministry, a calling. Later we'll hear good works, acts of service that God is calling us to do. Everyone. And they saw the vision of us all chipping away at the rock bed. Now, individually and corporately, all chipping away at our own callings, our own ministries, whatever God has called us to that day. It's a bit like saying, you know, sort of Mike's chipping away and someone says, how are you doing, Mike? Yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Jeanette? Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you, Chris and Wendy? Yeah, we're good. Chipping away. He saw that vision of chipping away, and then all of a sudden, the water came. All of a sudden, the water came and things were transformed. Clarity came. Forgiveness, cleansing happened. So keep chipping away, folks. Keep doing what you're doing, if that is what God has called you to do, whether it's together as the green or in the little things that we do in bits and pieces, or whether it's individually at home, at work, in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. I'm a Tesco's person now because I live nearer to Tesco's, but... And also, Simon's testimony about the meeting or the visitation of the angelic stranger. Was it an angel? Was it Jesus? Was it just a man from Iran? Some of the things he said point, for me personally, that it was Jesus himself. But the message was reaffirming Simon's ministry as an evangelist, but also our ministry is about the one. Love the one who's with you, the one in front of you, whoever it is, it's about loving that person. So, turn, we will turn to a scripture that Simon spoke about last week. Ephesians chapter 4, it'll come up on the screen as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers so that we could encourage them to go for it and spread the good news. That's why he gave us those people. So we could say, go on, go with your gifts and do what God has called you to do. Or, God has given us Simon the evangelist so that he could go out with the cross, spread the good news, and then come back and tell us all about it. And we go, we're glad we've got an evangelist in our church because they go out and they share the gospel. Is that why Christ gave the church evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers and apostles? No. It said Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, and until all, how many is all? All reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So how does having an evangelist in the church equip you for works of good service? How does having Simon or any evangelist in the church build you up and mature you? Think about that just for a couple of seconds. How would having Simon in the church equip and mature you? What would that look like? I'm guessing that your works of service that God has called you to do, or in Ephesians it says, the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. I'm guessing that at times they are going to be evangelistic in their flavor. The good works or the acts of service that God is asking you to do are going to have an evangelistic flavor. Not all the time. Within your good works, your acts of service, God is going to ask you to do some evangelizing. Oh, poop, I hear some of us thinking. You may not be an evangelist, but by your very nature, as a friend of Jesus, as someone who Jesus lives inside, you're going to be expected to be a sign and a wonder. Let's listen to what Jesus says this morning. Matthew chapter 5. So you can turn from Ephesians and you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. By your very nature, you are expected to be a sign and an explanation of the gospel, whether it's in word or deed. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed or blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now, depending on where you live and the culture you're in, persecution may be more or less likely. But for that to happen, in any circumstance, the persecutor needs to have some indication that you are living for Jesus. That what you are doing is because you are following Jesus. Verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in the same way that they persecuted the prophets, as we just read in Ephesians, Jesus has given the prophets to the church too, to equip you for works of service. Just as he's given the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, he's given the prophet to equip you and build you up and mature you. So you may not be a prophet, but your good works and your acts of service should have an element of the prophetic in them. Okay. Next, Jesus says in verse 13, you, who's that? You. Are you a you?
Yes.
You are the salt of the earth. As salt enhances or brings out the flavor in food, there's something about a Christian that should bring out the flavor or the good in a person. And that's because Jesus lives in you. By his Spirit, according to the Word of God, he came to dwell in you, in every believer. God sent the Spirit of his Son to dwell in you. And he knows, and he cares, and he loves the person in front of you, the person next door to you, the person behind you, whoever it is that he's calling you to acts of good service, good deeds. That same Jesus knows about that person, loves them, cares for them, and he wants to bring out the best in them, as salt brings out the flavor in the food. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Is it possible for salt to lose its saltiness? Keep your place in Matthew and go to Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6. It'll be on the screen as well. It says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So your speech needs to be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. So sounds strange, but it's actually the salt that helps you to know what to say. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? It's the salt that actually helps you to know what to say. That's because Jesus is the salt. He's the one in you who makes you salty. If you don't let him season your thoughts and therefore your words and your deeds, you are going to be salt by name, but not by nature. A Christian is salt of the earth. But if you do not let Jesus, who is the salt in you, season your thoughts and therefore your words and your deeds, you are salt that's lost its saltiness. You're salt by name because you're a Christian, but not by nature. Salt that's lost its saltiness. The only true way you can let Jesus season your thoughts, or as the Bible puts it, transform your mind, and therefore your words and your deeds, is to get to know him. Fellowship with him through his word and through his spirit in you. Jesus referred to him in Revelations as letting him in and then eating with him and he with you. Unless there is that fellowship, that friendship, that communication going on in you, then there is no seasoning. There's no seasoning of your thoughts and therefore coming out expressed in your acts of service. And there's no shortcuts to it either. There's no shortcuts to getting to know Jesus than actually spending time fellowshipping with him, listening to him through his word and through his spirit within. If you don't enjoy a daily relationship with Jesus, then therefore you are not letting Jesus season you. And therefore you will not know what to say and how to answer people. You can try to pretend to be a salty Christian, but if salt dries up and it's no longer salty, what are you left with? A flake. If you're talking about sea salt, you're just left with a flake, aren't you? A flaky Christian. By name, a Christian, by nature, a flake. Do you know what old MacDonald had? A farm. And do you know what he had on that farm? A flaky Christian. And do you know what that flaky Christian did? With a good deed here and a blow up there. Here a deed, there a gossip, everywhere a whinge, whinge. E-I, E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a flaky Christian. I like to think it's the Holy Spirit that inspires all my teaching, but... Do you know what? I think we'll be shocked. I think a lot of us will be surprised at how funny Jesus is. What a good sense of humour the Father has when we do eventually meet him face to face. But pay attention and make good use of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors that God has given you. They are there to help you mature, to equip you, to build you up. Make good use of them. Don't just say, I'm glad you're the evangelist, go and do your stuff. Think about it. How can you make good use of Simon? being in our midst. How are you going to enable him to build you up, to equip you for these good works of service, these acts, these good deeds that God has pre-planned you to do, that are supposed to be seasoned with Jesus? Think about it. We've got prophetic people, prophets in our church, in our family here. How are you going to let them encourage you and equip you? We can. We can pray for him. Okay. Going on. Verse 14. Jesus just said, you are the salt of the world. Next he says, or salt of the earth. Next, verse 14. We're going back to Matthew, by the way. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The moment the light of the world, who is Jesus, we know, he declared, I am the light of the world. The moment the light of the world came into your heart by his Spirit, you became a light, a torch, a candle, a lighthouse, however you want to describe it. You became the light of the world because the light of the world came into you. So that makes you light to the world too. But you smother that light. You put a blanket on it, quench it, the Bible says, when you choose not to let it out in word and deed. Verse 16. In the same way, let. Now, what do you do when you let the dog off the lead? You release it and stand back. In your case, you had two dogs. You've just quite relieved, aren't you? Just let it go. What do you do when you let someone in front of you? In a sense, you kind of stand back or you wait, don't you, and you allow them to go. You let them go. You stop, deny yourself in a sense, and let them go. What do you do when you let out a yawn? You just release it, don't you? You yield to it and you let it go. In the same way, Jesus says in verse 16, let. Okay? In the same way, let your light shine before others. The born-again Christian life is not supposed to be about trying to be a good person. It's actually about letting or releasing that which is already in you. Jesus, the salt, the light. Okay? It's not about trying to do this and trying to do that. Actually, it's about letting or releasing that which is in you. Frustratingly, Christianity can often be understood as a way of life where you invite Jesus into your heart and then you pick up the Bible and try and follow the rules. True? Not true? Yeah? You let Jesus in your heart and then you get instructed, this is the Bible, this is the manual, follow it. And you try and follow the rules. When actually, Christianity is about receiving Jesus into our heart and then working on getting to know him with the help of the Bible. There's a big difference. It's the difference between WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? We think to ourselves, what would Jesus do? And I'll try and do the same. Actually, the difference is, what will Jesus do? Not what would Jesus do and I'll try and copy, but what will Jesus do in me? And release that. There's a big difference. Verse 16, let's repeat it. In the same way, let your light shine. And who is your light? Jesus. Before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In order for others to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, there has got to be something about Jesus in what you do. Perhaps it's because you mention him. Or perhaps the way you do it demonstrates that he's supernaturally at work in you. This may be revealed to others over a long period of time, or sometimes more immediately. The work colleague who's puzzled and asks you questions because you've just prayed for their wrist in the name of Jesus. Now that's quite overt, isn't it? And immediate. Or the work colleague who's asking you questions now because for months they've been observing you. And why is it that whenever I drop you in it, you forgive me so quickly? The stranger who you just shared a word of encouragement to in the shopping queue at Tesco's, like Mary's testified before. Sorry, I hope you don't mind, but I think God wants me to tell you this or encourage you with this. I mean, that's quite overt, isn't it? And immediate. Some things are slow burn, some things are immediate. Or the regular fellow passenger on the bus who sees you often bubbly and singing to yourself. And then one day they happen to sit next to you and they just have to ask, why? Why are you often so bubbly and singing to yourself? Well, I'm not actually singing to myself, I'm singing to God. So there's the instant and the obvious good deeds where they see it and they praise your Father in heaven. Like healing on the streets, on the UCB prayer line, going out and doing the Churches Together outreach yesterday. It was Jackie who prayed with that girl, 16-year-old girl, and explained the gospel to her. And in the end she said, yes please, I actually want to pray their prayer of salvation. And we're just in the process of showing her so she could read it with us. And she said, I can't read. So Jackie said, it's okay, I'll lead you into that prayer. Simon ended up in meeting someone on the streets and ended up going to his hostel and sharing the gospel and his testimony with that man there. And Mike's already shared. And in the name of Jesus, he shared a God's love to this man, George, wasn't it? And then spent 20 minutes just chatting. Being a friend, in the name of Jesus. I wonder if George went away, whether he believes in God or not, thinking, thank you, God, if you're there. That was good. And then there's the more subtle, the chipping away as God works through you to work towards revealing himself later on. Giving your postman a tenner every now and again, just for encouragement. Cutting your neighbour's grass or washing their car the same time that you do yours. Being the only one in your group that doesn't talk behind people's backs and actually makes intentionally speak good about people. And then one day they ask you or God shows them that actually it's Jesus in you that makes the difference. And they see your good deeds and they glorify your Father in heaven. Apart from old MacDonald, he watched the flaky Christian and he was totally confused. Okay, how much time we got? Oh, we haven't, we've run out. So, next time, let's just put up this next scripture on the screen. You can keep your miracle question thingamajigs. Don't worry about them. Don't panic. I'm not going to ask you to follow it and go out and do the miracle question until I've explained it. No, I don't expect you to go out and do it anyway. I wasn't ready for it until recently. But we'll close with this. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this out of gentleness and respect. Have you ever come across that verse and thought, one day I'm going to sit down and make sure I'm actually prepared to give an answer for the hope that I have? That verse implies that actually people are going to ask you, what is different about you? So hopefully next time we'll cover the bits of paper, the bits and pieces on that piece of paper that will help you in whatever stage you are in your ability to fellowship with Jesus and to share him in the good works and the deeds that he's called you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus has gifted his church with gifted men and women who hold the gifts, the offices of apostle, evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher. Not so that they could do all the works, but that we, your children, can be equipped and matured and built up into unity, into faith, into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And our Father, I think that means the fullness as we gather together, but also the fullness in our own lives, that we can have more and more of Jesus Christ himself manifest in our lives, to know him, to walk with him more and more fully as we mature and grow. Holy Spirit, please mark out for those people, for us, for those people that you have called and appointed as an evangelist, as a prophet, as a teacher, as a pastor, as an apostle, in our midst, or in our circles. And help us to understand and to see ways in which not only can we encourage them, but actually that we can be equipped and matured by you through their ministries. Thank you for equipping this church with prophetic people, with evangelists, with pastors and teachers. We bless them now with your hand upon them to grow in their own ministries, and we ask you to open our eyes to see how we can be equipped and matured by them. And Lord, we don't seem to have an apostle. So please show us an apostle or apostles that you would have help us be equipped and matured. Because we do want the fullness of Jesus. We do want to be brought into the fullness of the unity of faith.